Just behave yourselves and act like men.
Now you start using your head. That's not love. That's 3 feet above your ass.
People will come, Ray.
All right, don't try to strike everybody out. Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist.
We don't stink right now.
You play ball like a girl!
You're out of here!
There's no crying in baseball!
High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
This is West Coast Bias.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Has it? We are back.
Yes, we are back after another vacation break.
Brief hiatus. Thank you for bearing with us. It's been a lot of good baseball, so, you know, our opinions need not apply. You can be the judge. But for now, we are back officially. It is the second quarter of the baseball season officially.
So. Officially, yes. It's been a wild season so far. A lot of unexpected first place teams, a few unexpected last place teams.
Well, we'll get into that a little bit later. I am Adam Nelson.
And I am Samuel Paul.
This is West Coast Bias Baseball Podcast. Well, you know, it seems like the East Coast and virtually every other coast except for the West is more interesting right now. Although Justin Turner is back, so maybe all is well in the world on the shores of the Pacific. But please email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter. Is that, are we on there?
No,
I don't know.
Not,
Facebook
on
probably.
Facebook we are on at West Coast Bias Podcast, and of course podomatic.com.
That's right.
Yes.
/podcast/West Coast Bias. Well, the Yankees are doing great. My fantasy team's doing terribly. The Dodgers are doing terribly. I am in a deep depression. So give me some hope for what's actually happening right now.
Well, like you said, Justin Turner is back. So
RBIs already as we speak. The game's still on right now, but it's about to end.
That things will start to turn around for the Dodgers. Still not worried about them, even though they are on pace to win or I guess lose 100 games
get
or more
here.
This season.
Get out of here. Yeah, okay. That's not going to happen. They're not going to go from winning 104 to losing. It's all right.
Probably not. They'll be fine. They probably won't win 100 games this year, but that's okay too.
Oh, really? Well, okay. Yeah, well, we don't need to win 104. All we got to do is just make it, right?
That's what they all say every year. Meantime, the Giants are doing better than last year. They are sitting at 500 at this point. They were in a position similar to the Dodgers last year that the Dodgers are on this year. So an improvement for the Giants, but still just a 500 team at this point.
And do you think Bumgarner will be back before Kershaw?
Well, at this point, it could be a toss-up. Bumgarner is progressing well, and they expect him back before the end of the month.
Not in a major league uniform. In a major league uniform,
In a major league uniform, back with the team.
The
reports are saying that everything feels normal. He's been throwing fastballs off the mound.
Well, Bochy keeps, like, every time they ask him, he's like, yeah, we'll give him one minor league start. And he's like, actually, we'll give him two. And then lately he was just like, yeah, we'll give him like three or four. So he's going to have to rehab a bit in the minors.
He will have to have some rehab starts to get that endurance up, but the current projection for him is way ahead of schedule.
Yeah, Kershaw doesn't seem like he's going to even be throwing off a mound this week. David Roberts said it's doubtful. Of course, he got put on the 10-day DL on May 6th. With left bicep tendonitis, that is Kershaw, not Bumgarner, obviously. So I don't know. Maybe there's a chance they both come back around the same time and do a little head-to-head. That'd be nice.
Unfortunately, there won't be a chance for a head-to-head until much later
until
in
August,
the season
right?
because of the scheduling weirdness of the way that the divisions are scheduled out. The Dodgers still haven't played any games against the Colorado Rockies. How is that possible?
That's insane. Yeah, well, it's about time because I've been seeing Blackman got benched one or two games. I don't think it's for any particular reason, but LeMahieu's on the DL now. So, you know, maybe it's a good time for us to go face the Rockies.
Maybe so, but like I said, it's been a weird first quarter of baseball.
It has a little bit weirder than I was anticipating, but hopefully
that's what makes this game great, though, isn't it? There's always something unusual happening.
Well, not for my fantasy team, but more on that later. It's all right. Look, on paper they look great, but speaking of paper, we got an email from Maravicki in Prescott, Arizona, I'm assuming. With Weeders out of the lineup, who do you think will be getting the everyday catching job in Washington? Well, yes, in case you haven't seen, Matt Weeders he was on the DL last Tuesday, I believe. And then yesterday, for his hamstring, they said he had surgery. So he underwent the surgery Wednesday to repair the hamstring. But generally, if you need surgery for a hamstring, that's bad news. So, I don't know. I think they had a guy, Rowdy Reed, but he's suspended for PEDs, and then Montero's gone. So, Pedro Severino's been getting the starts, and it looks like it's his job to lose. So, he actually might not be a bad fantasy asset right now if you're hurting for some catchers. He hasn't showed a lot of power, but he is batting .274 with 9 RBIs and a stolen base and only 73 at-bats, so... they do have Spencer Keyboom. They promoted him, but I don't even think he's got his start yet. So, but yeah, it looks like Severino's your guy. So, you know, again, couldn't have really been much worse than Weeders. Weeders was starting to look a little bit better than he was, but meh. No. So, you know, Pedro Severino might be a decent catcher to hit for average, and he might even have a little speed on the base path. So,
only because fresh legs for a catcher.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, there's been no, to my knowledge, there's been no catchers who have led the league in stolen bases.
I don't think that'll ever happen.
And they tend to slow down towards the end of the year anyway.
Although, did you see, was it yesterday or maybe it was the day before, Russ Martin played shortstop. Yeah, they took him out of the behind the plate, kept him in the game. And put him at short. Yeah, it's his first, appearance at shortstop in his career. He's played a little bit of third. I think he even played a little bit of outfield, but he's never played shortstop. Unfortunately, he didn't get a chance to make a play. But yeah, he was in there. Yeah, he looked good. I love me some Russ.
It's not totally unprecedented for a catcher to move out to. Middle infield
that's,
position.
That's I don't know. Just shortstop, though, from a catcher? I can't think of anybody.
Well, you know, Russell Martin.
He's an athlete.
He's an athlete. He's a great fielder. I still remember just a fantastic catch. I was still in a Dodgers uniform making a dive into the dugout to catch a foul pop. He was always an impressive catcher.
He's my favorite. He's still my favorite catcher. He's still my favorite.
With good cause.
Yeah. It was a 12-2 loss at Citi Field. They threw him in there in the eighth. Yeah, it's pretty good. He's had 32 appearances at third base, actually. 4 at second, 1 in the outfield. But none at short. That was pretty cool to see. I don't know. Kind of like Sandoval pitching.
Kind of like Sandoval pitching. That was an impressive 1-2-3 inning by the Panda. Still the sixth highest paid Red Sox this year.
Well, breaking news, Dodgers just finally broke their losing streak. Just shut out the Marlins.
Congratulations to them.
Jesus Christ. Took long enough. Yeah, so anyway. We saw Darvish come back, and he went four innings, gave up a run, five Ks, Cubs 132. What do you think? What do you think about Darvish? You think it's... I mean, I don't know. See, I held out for a while on him trying to be hopeful. Obviously, he was wearing the right colors for half of last year, so I was trying to be optimistic. But, you know, when you look at his numbers, I mean, his numbers, his ERA has been getting a little bit worse. But by the end of the season, his numbers are usually always about the same. His K per nine is over 11. His ERA is in the mid-threes. He doesn't really look bad, but he's not looking good. What are your thoughts on Darvish? Because I know a lot of fantasy owners are freaking out right now.
Well, Darvish is a good pitcher, proven to be consistent over the last years, as you just said. If he stays healthy, he's going to do reasonably well. But like everything, you know, these guys out there are human, as they sometimes will do some pretty freakish, superhuman type stuff, but up years and down years, and maybe this might be a slight down year for Darvish. Only time will really tell. I don't think it's panic time on Darvish. His numbers aren't
right
that far off.
But it's not pretty, especially if you're just sitting around, especially if you're doing head-to-head, week-to-week fantasy. You know, maybe, yeah, I'm always thinking in Roto. I'm always thinking long haul and wait it out and, you know, trust your guy. But, yeah, I don't know if you're doing...
Well, sure, and if he really is still trying to correct his tipped pitches...
Do you think that's what it is? Or, I mean, see, I'm thinking maybe it's even worse. Maybe it's command, it's control. It's not even just the tipping his pitches because he's throwing... he's not really getting a lot of swinging strikes anymore.
Could be. It also, you know, like I said, a down year human. Maybe there's a little bit of lack of confidence after what happened in the World Series.
Yeah.
Maybe there is something that he has adjusted in trying to correct the tip pitches that has changed his mechanics just enough to take a mile an hour, half a mile an hour off of his stuff.
Oh, you think that he's trying to adapt and that's actually hurting him?
It could be.
That's interesting.
It could be. I mean, who knows really what the issue is? Really, only Darvish probably knows for certain, and maybe he doesn't even know.
It seemed like he's been tipping his pitches since he was in a Texas uniform and for years, and it seems like he just said, whatever, it's fine. I'm still going to blow it by you. And
yeah, you know what's coming, here it is, try to hit it.
So either he's not that good anymore, or he's trying to adjust his arm slots, he's trying to adjust his mechanics to make it seem like they don't know what's happening.
Lost something out of his stuff, or maybe it's just physical wear and tear, and that happens to pitchers over time. You know, there's a special few, Nolan Ryan, who don't seem to have that age effect, but most do.
Yeah.
And maybe this is just the beginning of that. Again, it's probably not time to totally panic, but...
Who
else are you going to take if you have Yu Darvish?
He's only 31 years old, right? Yeah, so...
Right. So in theory, he has a few more good years in him, but never know.
Yeah, right now he only has two quality starts on the year. He's got a 5.56 ERA, but again, his K per nine is over 11, as is usual with him. You know, and he's in the National League still, and maybe he's still adapting to the National League. I mean, it's a completely different game.
Yeah, different game, different players, different styles.
It should be better that it's different players, but again, he did have half the season in the National League last year. But yeah, honestly, after that World Series performance, to me, that's almost worse than Buckner between the legs. I mean, like for real, that was it. I mean, he sort of nailed the coffin. You know, that was terrible. So if that is it, if he's still, I don't know. I generally think guys aren't really thinking about what happened 6 months ago. Although I don't know, they'll actually probably think of that every day the rest of their lives, but the true pros can maybe just push it out of their brain. I don't know. Speaking of Japanese, or he's, you know, half Japanese, but still, Ichiro.
Ichiro, we're all geared up for possibly seeing a matchup of Ichiro hitting off of Otani.
Right.
And see a passing of the torch in some levels of the big old Japanese star against the young up-and-coming Japanese star in the major leagues. I was looking forward to it, but a little bit less than a week before the series between the Angels and the Mariners, Ichiro announced that he was retiring.
Well, he didn't exactly shut the door on a potential for playing in 2019.
But he has shut it down for
the rest
for
of
2018.
That's right.
He's transitioning to the front office in the Mariners. Maybe even do a little bit of coaching. He has been in uniform in the dugout a couple of times in a coaching position.
That's like having Pete Rose as your coach. I mean, who could be better than Ichiro to be?
If you want to learn how to hit, yeah. If you want to learn how to hit, you know, for average, yeah, Ichiro, you might want to listen to.
Yeah, 10 years straight with over 200 hits. I mean, that's just insane. You know, he has that quote. He says, "When I start using a cane, that's the time I think I should retire." So, you know, he's not quite there yet.
Not quite there yet, but, I guess
even Tom Brady's asking him for advice, apparently.
Yeah, that was a cute little story. Who the fuck is Tom Brady?
I love how Ichiro is like the, you know, easily one of the greatest hitters of all time. Top of his sport, doesn't even know one of the greatest NFL players. Because good, who cares? Who cares about football? He's got baseball. He's got a one track mind. That's awesome.
He's got no time for American football. It's it's baseball is life. I mean, come on.
In case you didn't hear, Tom Brady texted Ichiro to get stretching tips or something, or
yeah, his workout stretching. So how does he stay in such good shape for so long?
He said, "Hey, I got your number from Alex Rodriguez. I wanted to get some tips." And then Ichiro had to ask his teammate, he's like, "Who the F is Tom Brady?" That's great. Because who cares, really?
Who cares? Pretty fantastic. Yeah.
But yeah, there is that the idea that you know, it's possible, but next season, the Mariners happen to open their season in Tokyo for a two-game series against the A's, where the rules allow for an expanded 28-man roster for that opening series. So, you know, could we see maybe Ichiro's first hit in Japan and then him getting his very last hit in Japan, but for two different leagues?
As an American player,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think...
that'd be interesting.
I think that would be great. If he came back just for that series,
he's gonna have to.
Why
right?
not?
I mean, he's gonna have to.
The fans in Japan absolutely love.
Oh, can you imagine that?
Love oh, yeah. to see that. It would be fantastic.
Sure. Oh yeah, he's a god. I mean, who's? Oh. I mean, it's like it's him and Nomo, right? Those are the two greatest Japanese players, at least in
so far
in America. Yeah,
so far
it's true, right?
There's this kid who spits his sunflower seeds into a cup instead of on the floor that has been making a few waves here lately.
Yeah, he's doing pretty good. He's very polite too. Wow, spitting his seeds into a cup. Wow. Yeah. I wonder what he thinks about dudes chewing tobacco. I wonder if they even do that in Japan.
I don't know. I think of one of my favorite baseball movies, Mr. Baseball.
Talking about it. Which does not really hold up culturally anymore. I just watched that kind of recently, actually, too.
No, perhaps not, but it is still a cute movie, and there is a little bit about spitting tobacco out on the field in Japan. It's a sacred field. I know it's sacred, but
let's try to get that clip up on Facebook. Well, big news also coming out of Mariners camp: Cano,
bye-bye. Robinson Cano,
bye bye, Robbie.
80-game suspension for a drug violation.
Yeah, without pay, of course. So that's brutal. And renders him ineligible for the postseason. If, that's a big if, they even make it, because the Angels are looking pretty tough. So yeah, that's pretty rough. It's pretty rough for them. It was for an illegal diuretic, right? But generally, where there's smoke, there's fire. So
yeah,
he's trying to flush out
as a masking agent or something.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't expect it from Cano, although I know, he is 35, 36 now.
And
so.
He has had some struggles the last few years. Hasn't really performed as well in a Mariners uniform as he did in a Yankees uniform.
Not exactly, but he's had some. Last year was really great. It was a really good year for him. He's, sort of coming back. But, yeah, that's tough. That's a tough break.
Yeah, and the bad news for the Mariners in general, here they are sitting just 2.5 games out of first place, 24-18.
Right, they're only half a game behind the Angels, right?
Only a half
for
a game behind the Angels for this point. A little bit too early to start talking about wild cards at this point.
Yeah. But considering the shape of the American League, it's not that early. I mean, in fact, we might even be able to decide this All-Star break.
All-Star break, we'll definitely start making our predictions about who's going to make.
Yeah, I don't know about National League.
But it's going to be an interesting year, and if the Mariners can keep it up without Cano, they still have a chance. Looking good so far.
How about the fact that this clears up about $12 million off their payroll also? So,
well, it gives them
Mariners
some
are now in the market.
Maybe they can pick someone up via either trade or off the waiver wire somewhere.
So the Mariners did promote Gordon Beckham, and it was looking like he was going to just be playing second. He can play second. But at first they said D was going to stay in the outfield because I know they didn't want him going back and forth. But it looks like D. Gordon's going to be back at second base now. So
he certainly has the experience to make that transition really easily.
Second base gold glover, definitely. But that might be a little trickier for fantasy purposes. That means if you count errors, which we do, that might bring his errors up a little bit by the end of the season. But, either way, I'm sure he'll be fine there. That's his natural home. But I was thinking about, the Reds are probably looking, even though they did win six straight and they won, seven out of the last 10, they're not the worst team in baseball anymore, but it looks like they're probably going to be looking to sell or trade. And they do have Scooter Gennett, and he's been swinging a hot bat.
Scooter Gennett's looking really good.
Can you see Scooter Gennett maybe going to Seattle?
I don't see how it's really outside the realm of possibility.
Might help them.
It might. It's certainly a possibility. Something to look at. We're still
12 mil is a nice chunk of change.
We're still 2.5 months away from the trade deadline too. So anything can happen.
That's true.
And roster adjustments can happen. And we have already had a trade happen this year. Slightly surprising, maybe. Matt Harvey being traded to the same Cincinnati Reds.
I guess that was a trade, but it was it was sort of just a get bye bye. Good.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Mets, man, they started 11-1, and now they're 9-18 since then. I mean, I think we predicted that on this show, actually.
It wasn't sustainable for the Mets. Yeah, right. But they did have a hot start. But they have slid back down to fourth place now in NL East.
NL East is looking tough.
Yeah, it is.
That is not a fun place to be in. But yeah, Matt Harvey, I mean, it's Matt Harvey. I don't know why anybody would hold their breath on that one. And so, but you know what? Maybe being on like a terrible team like the Reds, maybe it might actually help him out. He has zero quality starts so far this year. ERA at 6.17. He has 27 strikeouts and 35 innings. I just can't see him really ever coming back to a starting position. I don't know why he didn't just try to stay in the bullpen role. I think they asked him to, and he told him to F off, right?
And then the New York media basically crucified him, and then I think he just wanted out, and I think the Mets didn't want the distraction and Harvey couldn't hang with the New York media, and he was
like partying every night, like when they were in LA, and it's just like, come on, dude, like stay out of the strip clubs. Like, what are you doing? Just, you know, be cool.
Players would be ball players.
I guess. I don't know. National League East is looking tough, though. They got Atlanta's in first with 26, and then Philly and Washington both have 24 wins. Washington does have two more losses, but I mean, the Mets are one game over 500, so I mean, you know, can't say anything too bad about that.
All is not lost yet, but with three teams doing really well, a couple surprises, the Philadelphia Phillies, and probably a little bit ahead of schedule, as are the Braves, who are now in first place since first time since July of 2014. July of 2014.
14, really.
So
at this time of the year, or just what, in
well,
general?
Just in general. This is the first time that the Braves have been in first place since July of 2014. So
I guess the Nationals usually have that honor.
Well, they have lately.
Arizona is still just sort of hanging in there, 25-18 right now. Pittsburgh has a pretty similar record, 25-17. Pittsburgh, I'm a little surprised at, though. They're hanging in there. But again, I can't really see them hanging in that long. The Cubs aren't going to be 22-18 forever. So, but I don't know. That's an interesting take, too. I mean, is it possible the National League East is going to be the National League West this year, where three teams make it to the postseason? I mean, I doubt it. But right now, it's looking pretty decent for them.
Pretty good. Again, we're only a quarter of the way through, so there's plenty of baseball. But it is starting to take shape to see who the real contending teams are and who aren't. I think sure will probably change during the second quarter here as we approach the All-Star game.
And the winner of most garbage league would definitely be the American League Central. I mean, good Lord. Cleveland just barely got to 500. Cleveland just barely got to 500, and they're in first. They're in first by a game and a half. I mean, it's pitiful over there. But this is what we've been saying. You know, if you have to get a pitcher for fantasy purposes in the American League, try to get one in the American League Central, because that nobody's doing well over there. It's pretty good. Unless your name is Andrew Miller, though. Are you worried or concerned about Miller at all? Seems like he can't really find the strike zone right now, and if he does, it's just sitting pretty right over the plate. He got roughed up a little bit over there. What do you think?
To be honest, I haven't been paying much attention to Andrew Miller this year. I don't know. I think I would go in the same direction with Darvish.
Well, no, but I mean, Miller, especially if you do holds and saves for fantasy purposes, is just, he's an elite reliever.
Yeah. Right?
And I can't imagine his struggles are going to last much longer.
No, he'd probably find and correct his ways.
He might even get a decent trade option. Somebody trying to get rid of him. Somebody trying to offload him right now.
It could be, but he's pretty high paid. I mean, he's not as bad a shape as the high-priced closer that the Giants picked up.
Mark Melanson?
Mark Melanson has been a total bust.
So, the $60 million man?
So there's that, yes.
That's pretty good. Speaking of trade proposals, we got another email from Gabriel in Los Angeles. I got a trade offer for Max Scherzer. I'd be giving up Verlander. Verlander is on the better team, I believe. Should I just ignore this trade proposal? No, do not ignore that. I mean, I know Verlander just got his 2,500th strikeout. He's killing it. He just got a complete game shutout. But if you have the offer to get Scherzer for Verlander, take it. I don't know why anybody would even offer that. That's kind of weird. But again, yeah, maybe, I don't know, maybe somebody saw that game last night and was like, oh, I want Verlander really bad. And look, Verlander is great. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from him. And he is on a great team.
And he has been extraordinary since he did change teams.
He has been too good. And that's maybe why I'm a little bit wary, because But actually, no, you're right. Since he's been in Houston, he's just been lights
out.
He's
been his old self.
Yeah, that's true. It's crazy. But I guess don't take my word for it. But yeah, if you're getting a trade offer for Scherzer, for Verlander, for really for any pitcher right now, take it. I mean, I don't really know what stats you're doing. If you're going to email us, let us know what kind of league you're in. Roto, head-to-head, points, you know, let us know, because that does kind of affect it. But for right now, from what I could see, at least, Scherzer, well, I mean, they're all, according to Yahoo, they're all under in the top 10, or both of them are. But Scherzer, I mean, God, he's just, he is insane this year. I don't know. I like him just because he's so consistent. Jesus Christ. Yeah, he's got 91 strikeouts, 58 innings so far, 13 walks. He is currently ranked by Yahoo, sorry, at 12. I was wrong. He's not in the top 10. But Justin Verlander. Yeah, Justin Verlander has got 84 strikeouts in 68 innings. So his Verlander's K per 9 is obviously 2 points lower, which is pretty significant. But, you know, I would say stick with Scherzer. That's just me. Scherzer's not on a bad team himself, but granted, they're not maybe as good as Houston. But I don't know. For me, when it comes to fantasy, if I can get an all National League pitchers, I would. You know, I know there are a lot of great American League pitchers, but even a guy like Chris Sale kind of worries me.
No, why is that you would pick National League pitchers over American League?
Well, because the ERAs collectively in the National League are always lower than ERAs in the American League. And American League scores more runs than the National League every single year.
Is there better hitters in the American League, or is it because of the...
Well, there's an extra hitter. Wow. I mean, right there, like there alone. Unless your name is Greinke or Bumgarner, there's an extra hitter in that lineup every single day that you have to face as a pitcher. And I would rather not have to do that, especially since, you know, you might have to face the Yankees a dozen times a year.
Murders
so depending
row.
On depending on what league you're in. That's just me. I mean, I say that I have Carlos Carrasco as my number one guy, and I love Cookie. Cookie's the man. I'm not worried about him, but generally, like your third, fourth, fifth pitcher, you know, I'd prefer to keep it in the National League, you know, and I do have Arrieta. And I do have Lester. And it's just my team, man. I don't know what to do. It's brutal. It's brutal right now. You know, on paper, my team, they're not bad. But the injuries, you see, I'm just plagued this year with the injuries. It's almost, it's disturbing. So right now, we'll do a quick little injury update. Stop talking about myself for a second. AJ Pollock, you might have seen trying to make that diving catch. AJ Pollock being AJ Pollock, you know, he's easily one of the best players in baseball when he's healthy, I think. I mean, I love that guy. That guy's won me a championship, I think, twice.
Yeah,
but he's never healthy. You know?
Yeah, he rolled over his thumb and is now out for probably 8 weeks.
He saw a hand specialist Tuesday. He's revealed to have suffered an avulsion fracture in his left thumb. Yeah, we'll miss at least 8 weeks. That's tough, man. I mean, he was putting up an MVP caliber season right now. If the season ended, he would have easily won. He's slugging .620. He's got 11 home runs, 33 RBIs in just 40 games. I mean, that guy is just lights out. I've seen him play a lot, obviously, just because he's been in Arizona his entire career, and he's got everything. You know, he kind of reminds me of like a cargo, like a vintage cargo. You know, like making all the plays, good arm. Obviously, he's a righty, but still,
he's definitely a fun player to watch. There's no doubt about it. Bad news for the Diamondbacks, you know, since they didn't bring back JD Martinez, and now Pollock is down. You know, maybe this is part of why they're starting to slide. They got off to one of the hottest starts in baseball history. They just recently lost their first series against the Washington Nationals.
That's right. Do you think that has more to do with it, or the fact that Goldschmidt's hitting .208 right now?
Well,
with 12 RBIs on the year.
That definitely affects some things. He's going to have to step it up for sure now.
Unbelievable.
But now he has even less protection in the lineup, so he's probably not going to see too much to hit.
It actually kind of worries me, because Goldschmidt is barely above the Mendoza line. He's probably got like a negative war right now. And so the fact that they're still in first with essentially without Goldschmidt, now granted they don't have Pollock, who's actually their best hitter so far. But, if and when Goldschmidt does start becoming Goldschmidt again, that's, if they can hold on to what they're doing, they're still going to be a team to be reckoned with. But of course, Robbie Ray's still out, but, yeah, I can't believe Goldschmidt this short or this slow of a season. I mean, he's got a lot of walks and he's got a bunch of runs, but 208, that's unreal. 12 RBIs, I mean, that's brutal. That's like Billy Hamilton numbers right there, you know? That's seriously.
Well, not quite so bad.
It's worse. Billy Hamilton's hitting .212, so. And he's got 12 RBIs, and he's got 2 home runs. He's got almost the same numbers, except for he has 8 stolen bases, which helps, you know. But that's, that's brutal, man. That is pretty, it's just really surprising. I don't know.
It is. It is a little bit surprising.
But, you know.
Also injured this last couple of weeks, Johnny Cueto.
How's he doing?
Out with an elbow injury.
That's right. Wasn't he seeing getting a second opinion?
It was, I believe, a third opinion.
See, that's bad. Elbow.
With the lead elbow Tommy John surgeon in the country.
Mm-hmm. What happened there?
Well, his consultation, I guess, went well, and it was suggested that he doesn't need surgery.
Yeah, right.
Just rest.
I don't know. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
good luck with that.
He's on the 60-day DL, and see what happens in a couple of months to see if he can throw the way that he's been throwing.
Well, I don't know.
When he went down.
This sounds very similar to Corey Seager. We'll just give him a few weeks. We'll give him a couple more weeks. Well, it's the postseason. That's okay. He won't play in the championship series at all. All right. Oh, it's the World Series. Oh, he's battling. It hurts. Okay, all right, season's over. He has all winter to heal. All right, he has all winter to heal. Pain, pain, pain. Oh, yeah, actually, he needs Tommy John surgery. Well, what the hell? You know, he could have had that 6 months ago. He could have already been halfway through recovering. When I hear elbow, when I hear third opinion, it's just like, come on, man. Eventually, you'll find a doctor to tell you what you want to hear, but nobody wants to hear they have to get surgery, but it just seems like nowadays the Tommy John surgery, I mean, I know there's all different kinds and not everyone is the same, but it seems like they've got it pretty down now and your best bet is just to get it over with.
Yeah, get it over with. But on the other side of that, of course, Cueto is in his walk year.
And he
was injured for most of last year. And didn't have a great season. So this season he was really looking to perform and perform well to get probably one last contract for his career.
Was he trying too hard? Do you think he blew it out? Or do you think this is a lingering issue?
Who knows what happened? I mean, it's possible that he was throwing a little bit too hard to try to make up.
He was looking good.
He was looking great. ERA leader, .84 when he went down. So only time will tell when that inflammation calms down. Maybe they'll take another look and see how badly it's damaged. But, if he needs surgery, and that's not good, for his career. Who's going to take, necessarily a chance on him aging and coming off of Tommy John surgery?
Ooh, it's going to be a tough rotation for the Giants coming up here in this the next few months.
Well, the good news is that the guys that they have brought up to replace the injured Jeff Samardzija, Johnny Cueto, and Madison Bumgarner have been performing well. Here they are sitting at .500 at the quarter mark.
Samardzija's back, though. He's starting today against Colorado, right?
He is back,
yeah.
But he missed the first month.
Right.
And Madison Bumgarner, Again, we already talked. He's progressing well. He'll be back relatively soon as well. But in the meantime, they've got these kids up from the minors, and they're doing reasonably well.
R.I.P. Speaking of more injuries, we got Adrian Beltre placed on the 10-day DL, left a hamstring strain after he re-aggravated the area in Sunday's series finale against the Astros. He's expected to miss at least 2 weeks. Encarnacion, he's out. Sore neck or neck stiffness and upper back. I guess he's technically day-to-day, but guys, it's terrible. Bradley Zimmer, again for the Indians. After some deliberation, they just decided to put him on the 10-day DL with a left rib contusion. After he... Did you see this catch that he made? All right, well, he didn't make the catch, actually, but he crashed into the center field wall at Yankee Stadium. I think it was May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. Trying to make that catch. It was brutal. It's hard to watch. He just gets wrecked. He jumps up, hits like, you know, there's like a little alcove. It's kind of like cushion, but then there's not. And he just, I mean, I don't know how he didn't break his rib. It's well, rib contusion. I don't really know what that means. Adam Eaton, of course, I guess it's just a bruised rib. I don't know. Adam Eaton, he's on the 60-day DL now. 60-day DL, sorry. It's just brutal. He's got arthroscopic surgery on his left ankle. I mean, it's almost deja vu. It's like last year. He's starting out great the first month, and then boom, out for the rest of the year. I mean, Adam Eaton might be back in August or so. We'll see. Nelson Cruz, he got hit twice in that game. Was that Tuesday night? The second one hit his foot, just the top of his foot. He had to get carried off the field. So, of course, he's out. He's on the DL.
Isn't this his second stint on the DL with a foot ankle injury?
Well, yeah, he slipped or whatever on his last one. So out of all those five guys, I have three of them on my team. I have Encarnacion, Belt, and Eaton. I forgot about Cespedes. So, yeah, that's right. I have him, too, and he just got put on the DL. Can't catch a break. Those are all my heavy hitters. I mean, that's everybody on my team. I got nothing right now. It's seriously terrible. And if Altuve could actually get an extra base hit for once in his goddamn life. Come on, Altuve. What are you doing, bro? He hated. I did not want to draft Altuve. I had to. I didn't have a choice. You know, I didn't think he was going to even be available third. I really don't like second baseman for my first pick. It's just, there's so many good second basemen out there this year. It's just, it's terrible. I mean, even Jed Lowry. I mean, he's killing it right now. I could easily have him. Anyway, I'm just going to stop venting. But the injury reports, it almost seems to be directly to me. It's almost just like, all right, here's another pile of shit for you. Why don't you figure out how to manage your team now? Why don't you figure out how to sell, you know?
Being the baseball card, the gods are testing you.
They are. I've never been this low ever on the standings in any of my fantasy career, my exalted fantasy career, I might add. It's brutal. So you're right. I'm just going to pretend like I'm being tested. I don't know what's happening. It's pretty bad. There's a huge discrepancy in our league between first, second, and, like, you know, the rest of everybody else. Yeah. Which you know, it's the beginning of the season. People can gain and lose 10 points overnight. I keep saying it's the beginning of the season. It's the first quarter has already passed, so
right.
It's time to get into higher gear.
We're pretty much middle of the season now.
I know. I just, you know, it's brutal. My team is not that bad, and on paper they're actually great. I got by draft, at least in terms of predicted, I think it was second overall. But so I'm just waiting. It's just a waiting game. We're waiting for the laws of baseball averages to just finally catch up, and that's the tough thing about Roto. You know, it's whoever's got the most patience, really. You know, and so hopefully I'm getting all my injuries out of the way with now.
It's right, and then
my
won't
core
continue
five
to
guys
linger. Yeah.
Well, we'll see. It's all right. All right. I can't say I've been here before, but I understand it. What about Vlad Guerrero Jr.? Vlad Guerrero Jr. Sorry.
He's looking
just
great.
Like,
I
keep getting
he?
All these updates from this guy. It's just like, all right, enough. But I mean, he is killing it. He's batting .415 right now. He's got 40 RBIs in 35 games. People are clamoring in Toronto to have him come up. He's only 19. He just turned 19. And people are saying, you know, it's too late. You know, why aren't you bringing him up yet? Well, I mean, he's 19 years old. You know, What do you think?
He can't go out with the rest of the team to get a beer at the end of the game.
Well, no, he can. He can. He's
well,
in Toronto.
I guess they're in Toronto.
Yeah,
sure.
If it's a home game.
But it's a home game, but not out on the road. The rest of the major league cities.
It's pretty crazy because on that same team, what is he? He's on the New Hampshire Fisher Cats or something like that, or something like that. He's got Bo Bichette, of course, Dante Bichette's son, and Kevan Biggio, Craig Biggio's son. That's like a 90s.
That's some pedigree
Redux
right there.
Team right
yeah.
there. Yeah, I know. How do they all end up on the same team? That's pretty crazy. Bo Bichette's Pipeline's number 11 overall pick. Number 2 for the Blue Jays, so Blue Jays are going to have this like vintage team coming in. It's going to be like this like video game all-star team or something, but the progeny of all these 90s yeah. stars going to be coming up to Toronto. It's cool for them.
Bo Bichette makes it, or we're going to get a revival of the Bichette Happens campaign.
You said when you say Bo Bichette really fast, it kind of sounds like Boba Fett. That's going to that'll be his bobblehead.
Well, we are approaching the opening of the next Star Wars movie, but
yeah, you know, Guerrero Jr., he's got a quick bat. But that'd be the only thing I could see in the similarities from the little bit of video that I've seen of him between him and his dad. Yeah, he doesn't seem like he has the same arm as Vladdy. Big Daddy Vladdy had. He had an arm. I mean, do you remember this guy's
Big
arm?
Big Bad Vlad? Oh, yeah. He had a cannon. That was a cannon. There's no doubt.
19-year-old baby Vlad doesn't have that cannon. But, you know, he's
he has
flashing
that genetic,
some leather.
So it's, you know.
It's in his DNA.
He's only 19th. He can get
That's
stronger.
True. He's not as fast, doesn't seem like, as his dad was at his age. But, hey, again, he's hitting 415. That's not bad.
Big Bad Vlad was a very special player, and he's got some really big shoes to fill if he's going to be
a Hall of Famer like his dad.
A Hall of Famer like his dad. He's got a long way to go. And
but do you think we're going to see him this year?
Well, look,
I mean,
if he is still mashing like he is at the end of the year, he might be a September call up.
I think the Blue Jays aren't in it. They can't be in it. But at the same time, they didn't. You know, they got Granderson in the offseason. You know, they made a couple moves. I'm not saying that's the best. they kept Donaldson. You know,
they tried.
Well, you know, they're not doing too bad right now. They're over 500, but
they're just unfortunately in a division with the murderer rows that the right. Yankees and the Red Sox are.
But like we were saying before, so it seems like they don't even have to worry about the American League Central. Really, the only team they have to worry about is the Angels. So, you know, right now the Angels are 25-18. The Angels are doing pretty damn good, and they have probably the two most exciting players in baseball on their team. And it's kind of theirs to lose. But Toronto keeps playing the way they're playing. Who knows, you know? So if that's the case, if they're still competing in, let's say, August even or late July, are we going to see Vladdy Jr.?
That Vladdy Jr. is AA right now.
Triple
putting up those numbers? Those are AAA numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's certainly possible. He's got to be able to show that he can hit major
AA,
league.
Double A, you're right,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Double A. So perhaps an early promotion to Triple A, see how he does against much closer to major league talent. He's still got to show that he can hit major league curveball.
That actually, yeah, that's, so that, that
that's,
leads, that leads me
test.
To, that leads us to my, this, my sleeper choice of the week. And he's on the same line here, I think, because Vlad Guerrero is only 19. So I think you're right. I think we're going to have to see him go up to AAA for a little while, at least first. And if he can carry his bat up, yeah, maybe we will see him by end of July, August. But right now, there's an even more exciting guy, I think. It's this kid, Franmil Reyes, outfielder for San Diego. Have you seen this guy?
I have not.
This guy's like 6'5", 270.
Wow.
He's a big boy. And he's just hitting oppo hits. He's just getting oppo home runs like crazy. He's nuts. The Padres just purchased his contract from AAA El Paso. He wasn't even ranked among the team's top 30 prospects coming into the season, but he's had, in AAA, He's hitting 346, 440, 748 slugging. It's unbelievable. He's 14 home runs, 37 RBIs. He's leading all the minors in home runs. So they brought him up two days ago. And in his last four games in AAA, he had 6 home runs. I mean, and then I was watching video of this guy. There's not a lot of video of him, but his swing, he looks crazy. He looks really good.
Does it remind you of any particular swing that you've seen in the past?
He does, actually.
Left or right-handed?
Who's the he's a right-hander.
Okay.
But he's hitting all these home runs.
Opposite field.
Yeah. Kevin Mitchell.
Kevin,
right?
Mitchell.
Yeah.
He reminds you of, yes, Kevin Mitchell.
Yeah. Go watch those videos from Kevin Mitchell, who you, I'm sure, have seen many times.
Oh, yeah.
Times,
oh, yeah. Right? I remember watching him at Candlestick.
Just getting down and just getting dirty and just cranking it out. Now, Kevin Mitchell had the power to turn on the ball also. And this kid's still young. So, but, I mean, his easy power to the opposite field is just crazy. But, yeah, I mean, go try to watch, like, those side-by-side between old Kevin Mitchell videos and Franmil Reyes. I don't know. I'm kind of excited about this kid. You know, he's playing in San Diego, so it's... you know, I don't know.
Yeah, and that's a tough park to hit home runs in.
It is, but unless you're 6'5", 270.
Well, this was the house that was built to keep Barry Bonds in.
But they've brought the fences in since then.
Since, yeah, Barry Bonds no longer in the league.
And the left field is a lot closer in now than it used to be, and he is a righty. But it seems like it doesn't even matter. I mean, even his base hits, it's weird because he's not really getting the barrel over the plate. He's just he's waiting really long, and this is why he's hitting all these oppo shots. But he's doing it. You know, it's pretty cool. I don't know. I hope good things to see. That's a guy to watch, especially right now if you need an extra outfielder, or if you have a guy that you're sort of sitting on that you never start. Check out Franmil Reyes, San Diego outfielder. You know, right now, because Will Myers is still out with oblique injury, and he's supposed to be coming back pretty soon. But, you know, oblique, that affects the guy's hitting a lot. I mean, that's your core.
Running and throwing.
And he's got Franchi Cordero, which is kind of funny. There's two Frans now. There's two Frans in that lineup in San Diego. You have Franchi and Franmil. Kind of strange. And Travis Jankowski. They've all been playing outfield. I think all those guys are replaceable. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see where Franmil, if he can actually relate that power or even that average to the major leagues, he'll probably be the everyday guy out there. Again, maybe not the best team to be on, but who knows? I mean, you bring a bat like old Adrian Gonzalez San Diego days, you know, just bring that one bat in there. I mean, I don't think they're going to be surpassing the West at all, but might be good for fantasy numbers.
Well, we have... strikeouts. Strikeouts overall in the league are up in a major way.
In the league or all of baseball, I'm assuming.
And all of baseball, yes.
Right.
An article published May 1st in the Wall Street Journal talked about the record pace of strikeouts this year.
And the strikeouts this year have surpassed hits collectively throughout baseball, right? And that's the first time.
Yes, the first time ever.
Is that the first time ever?
First time ever. And
or since 68, or just first time in recorded.
No, 68, the so-called year of
The mound was
of
higher.
The pitcher, the mound, right. Mound was higher, but there still were
guys were hitting though.
Far less strikeouts than there were hits. And you know, so heading into you know, the beginning of May, hitters had 7,163 strikeouts as compared to 6,808 hits.
Wow. Oh, so the strikeouts total between 1998 and 2018. All those total have now surpassed all the total hits. I see, because I'm looking at that number too. It's 42,662 strikeouts next to 40,548 hits. That's crazy. That's pretty interesting. But, you know, Bill James predicted this from day one, since he's been doing the stats of how the strikeouts will continue to climb, right?
I mean, he did, and a lot of that is because of the pitching and the changing pitching philosophies and the fact that pitchers are throwing harder than they ever have in the past.
Right.
They have
averaged well over 90 miles an hour.
Right, 93 miles an hour. Up from 90.7 a decade ago.
Right. And I think, like you said, the philosophy of the game has changed a lot, too, because I think guys are looking at it like we were talking about Joe DiMaggio's famous run when he 56-game hit streak. And that season, he struck out 12 times the entire season.
Right.
Know?
And
it's
and
unbelievable.
And in his career, he never struck out more than 39 times in any one season.
That's unreal. And so we were talking about how guys, it used to be more embarrassing.
Right,
there's a
stigma around around striking out. You just didn't want to strike out.
Right, who wants to strike out three times a game? Who wants to strike out four times a game, for that matter, unless your name is Giancarlo Stanton? But I think now the stigma is gone, if not completely gone. And a guy thinks, hey, an out's an out. If I go down swinging,
it's
or
just
if I
an
fly out,
it's
or ground
not,
out.
It's not a double play.
Right.
On a certain extent, but it... There's
more potential for you to get a home run if you're
right.
swinging every time.
And that's always been the trend, that the heavy home run hitters have always struck out more on average than the non-heavy home run hitters.
Yeah. Bill James even says that hitters who strike out a lot are as productive, if not more productive, than hitters who don't strike out, as high strikeout hitters tend to... bash more home runs. And because of that asymmetry, the strikeouts will continue to go up. And also, of course, guys are seeing not just faster pitches from starters on average, but they're also seeing more relievers than they ever have.
And who are throwing
harder, even harder
than ever.
Yeah, just throwing gas.
This article says...
The average,
65 different relievers threw a pitch that traveled at least 99 miles per hour, up from 37 in 2012.
Wow, that's almost double. That's insane.
So that's a big uptick.
Yeah.
I mean, 99 mile an hour fastball is a tough fastball to hit. You see enough of them, major league hitter will be able to catch up to them. But for the most part, if you're used to seeing 90 to 93, and all of a sudden you get up, and instead of having a guy a little bit tired,
right,
throwing
seen
a little
him for
bit
the third
slower,
time.
Seeing
right.
him for the third time, seeing all his pitches, now here comes this flamethrower, throws 98, 99 miles an hour, and now you're behind.
Yeah.
And it's much harder to get those hits. You're going to strike out probably more so.
Yeah, because... Exactly.
I know I couldn't hit a 99 mile an hour fastball.
I don't think you could hit 69 mile an hour fastball.
I could probably hit 69. 79, maybe.
With movement. I don't know. I watched those like Little League World Series. Those kids were throwing at like 79. Some of them were throwing at 80. I'm like, whoa, dude. This
I know.
Like,
I had,
kids
I had
are throwing
when
gas.
When I was playing, I had there was a kid in my league who was definitely in the high 70s throwing.
Really?
Yeah. And
I don't know if I could hit that.
No one wanted to face him. He was definitely like the best player in our league.
Well, especially your like little like 12-year-old body gets beamed by an 80 mile an hour. I'm going to be hurting for a while, unless your name is El Bardo, right? Unless you got a 44-inch waist. You know.
Oh, my God, Bartolo Colon. New definition of gut punch. Thank you very much.
We're going to have that gif up on the Facebook in case somehow you haven't seen it. It's pretty amazing. He gets a 102-mile-an-hour comebacker right to the gut. It just takes it. Just
right in the boiler.
And it makes the play. Makes the play, gets the ball up, you know.
Yeah, and he was smiling and waving off the trainer. No, I'm fine. Hit me right here.
I got a lot of extra cushion here. I'm fine.
He'll have a nice big welt, I'm sure.
I mean, I don't know what's in there. Hopefully it's just a rock hard belly. It's not, because that hits me in the belly. I mean, I'm gonna go down.
Rock hard abs under that 44 inch.
His
waist.
Belly is like harder than most guys' like asses. I guess that's where you'd want to get hit.
Or the theory that there's so much cushioning that there's impulse is much longer as the ball slows down.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's like shooting a bullet into water, I guess, right? If you swim down through it 5 feet, you're going to be safe, yeah. That's I don't know if he has 5-footy belly, but yeah. Hey, he stayed in it. I don't even think he gave up a run that whole game. He's looking good. He's looking pretty good. He's probably a free agent in most leagues. His strikeouts aren't always there, but his ERA isn't bad. You know, I mean,
yeah, he's doing all right. Quality starts this year.
Yeah, you might want to pick him up maybe for certain matchups, but hey, you know, it's not too bad. And maybe Brandon Belt should have followed in the direction of Giancarlo Stanton and all these other guys last night. Did you see the very last out? Wednesday night's game with the Giants.
I did see that very last out.
I mean, I like seeing Giants strike out, but not that way. That was brutal.
Yeah, that was clearly 3-4 inches off the plate to the outside. He was upset. He gave the umpire an earful right away on his way back to the dugout. He had some things to say at the press conference.
Yeah, you know, and this comes, what, after last month he had that 13-minute, 21-pitch at-bat against the Angels.
Yeah.
And he was saying that the umpire that game more than once was talking about speeding up the game. And then he goes and does something like that, trying to just get that game over. They were losing 6-3, but they had the tying run on deck. And, you know, Brandon Belt's been doing pretty good. And the Giants as a whole have been swinging pretty good. They already had 3 runs.
And to
end the game? That far off the plate? I mean, that's brutal. He was understandably pissed.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him.
You know, some people could argue that it was close enough that he probably should have swung at it and gone down swinging.
Well, he was quoted as saying, he's like, I couldn't have hit that even if I tried to swing at it, you know?
Right.
I mean, maybe you're right, but again, that wasn't one of those protecting the plate kind of pitches.
And that 21-pitch at-bat earlier this year really did establish that Brandon Belt has a pretty good eye. He knows where that strike zone is. And he doesn't swing at balls outside of the strike zone. And if he doesn't swing at a ball he doesn't think that he can hit, it's probably not a strike.
So This was Doug Eddings, right? And he's been kind of known to make some pretty bad calls in the past as well. Now, I'm not calling for the digital strike zone, okay? I know that's been brought up a lot, and it's been tested. I know they've been testing in minor league games and stuff, not as instead of the ump, but they've been doing it. There was a Real Sports, Brian Gumbel, was last year, I believe. And, they had that guy, Eric Burns, is that his name? Some of the A's and I don't know, a bunch of teams.
Burnsy.
He's all about it. He thinks it's great. But it's so weird because, I mean, I don't know. A lot of baseball is the edges. It's living on the edges, you know?
Right. And there is that human factor that makes the game fun in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and so I don't mind when if a guy's been pounding the strike zone all night, if he gets just a tick off the strike zone, if it's called the strike, that's fine. I mean, if it's painted and he's been showing and proved that, you know, that's the game. You know, the ump will give a guy like Kershaw a slider in if he's just been dominating that, or Verlander. Verlander gets a lot of curveball calls, even though there are a lot of them end up pretty low, but because he pounds in the strike zone all game.
But with a curveball, though, it's not where the ball ends up. It's where it enters the strike zone, where it crosses the plate.
Yeah, sliders as well. It's true. But if this was on a digital strike zone, a lot of these would not be called strikes. And I don't know. And then the whole idea of an umpire still there, but he's not even making the call, is just so depressing to me. I can't even think about it. So I'm not quite there yet. But the idea of umps shortening games,
yeah, that's not good at all.
You gotta call the game.
You can't just because you gotta go take a piss. You can't end that game early and
find
call
another job.
A strike that shouldn't be a strike.
As much as I like watching the Giants lose and striking out to lose a game, as much as I like that, I don't want to see it that way.
Yeah, not on a blown call. Maybe there's some sort of middle ground that can be fine. There's a lot of technology out there. There'd be a way to have a digital assist for the umpire. Something
no, Google, see, even that I'm...
Google Glass technology in the face mask. No, hear me out. Something where the information collected from the digital umpire is relayed to the live umpire to show where the strike zone is. What
umpires
is looking
are
at.
Not going to be happy about that. They will not adopt that.
To assist their eyes, like, you know, as they look behind the plate, at the plate, with a constantly adjusting strike zone. Catcher's framing. Digital umpires shows that this is a strike.
Yeah, you know, digital umpire shows that you suck at your job. They're not going to sit through those meetings at the end of the game. Okay, they're going to go on strike, and then we're going to get the purely digital, and then I'm going to be even more sad. Umpires don't like to be told how to do their job.
No one likes to be told how to do their job.
I can't see that. I just can't see that happening.
If they get
a little buzz in their pocket, like, oh, no, that was actually a strike. You should have called, you know. I don't know. I can't see that. I think it has to be all or nothing, you know. And so for right now, again, I'll complain about it if it keeps happening. But I don't know. I guess it's the best we got, right? I don't know. Can you really see that happening? Umpires getting told what to do mid game. Somebody else brought up an example. Maybe a team gets one challenge a game. But that opens up a whole other can of worms.
The whole tradition is you can't argue balls and strikes.
Right.
And that's been the deal since the beginning.
Right.
But if the issue is defining the strike zone and having a consistent strike zone throughout the game, a little visual aid showing the umpire where the strike zone is, even if it's not telling him directly what is a strike, what is not a strike, some place where he can see and no one else can see where that strike zone is, and he can see where the ball is relative to that strike zone.
Right. No, I know. They're not gonna be happy about that.
No, from personal experience, I've been an umpire for Little League. I've stood behind the catcher and called balls and strikes. Granted, for a Little League,
right? I'm sure it's not an easy job.
It requires a lot of concentration. It requires a lot of focus. It requires a lot of awareness.
Right.
And it's tough to maintain.
And nobody
sometimes.
Cares when you get the call right. They only care when you get it
exactly.
wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. And as an umpire, you don't want to get that call wrong, unless you're trying to shorten the game.
Right. And see that.
But
I just hope guys like this aren't going to ruin it for the rest of us.
There definitely needs to be some sort of accountability, whether it is a digital aid, a digital umpire, or some sort of fine if an umpire is found to make a call in a certain way to get the game to end faster. There has to be some sort of accountability for this because it affects an individual game, it affects individual players, it affects the outcome of the season
and future calls from then on. I'm so averse to any sort of digital strike zone. I even hate it on like Fox Sports when they have the permanent strike zone on there, you know, like when you're watching the game. It's like, it's fine if you want to put that on for the replay, but don't have that stupid strike, the batter, you know, the strike zone on for every single batter the entire game. You know this? You know, ESPN does it too. It's just, it annoys the shit out of me. I can't stand it. It's like, I know where the strike zone is, all right? It doesn't really matter what your digital strike zone says because the umpire is going to be calling it however he wants. And so I'm not complaining about that. And to me, it seems like if there ever is a digital strike zone, we're going to have that stupid box on every screen. Because at least for right now, for Dodger broadcasts, and for most baseball broadcasts, they don't have it unless it's like a national televised game. Do you not feel the same way? I don't know. Email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you think about that permanent strike zone on there during the game. I frankly can't stand it. But I don't know. What's your opinion on that? Do you not... Do you like it? Do you not like it? Like, do you not mind?
It doesn't bother me so much.
You know, but some of them have it on the bottom right. Some of them have all the pitches on the bottom right and show you where they were. And that's fine, too, if you want to keep that. Yeah. Just don't put it over the plate, you know?
I do like it. I've always liked that aid of showing where the strike zone is and where the pitches have landed relative to that. I always thought that they should do it more. Oof. I don't know.
During the game, though?
I don't know if it should be live, but, you know, not everything is replayed. Not everything. And you want to see where the ball was relative to the plate. It's also difficult to see, too, because not every camera angle from center field is directly down. So there's always a little bit of a skew to the right or the left, which changes your visual angle. Maybe something that shows outside outside or off the corner is not that far off just because of the camera angle. Maybe it was closer.
So have it like, I think, like Pirates broadcast. They have that down on the right underneath the scoreboards on the top right. And then on the bottom right, when a batter's up, they have all the pitches in that at bat. And they have all the balls where all the, like, pitch one, pitch two. That's fine. Just don't put it in front of the catcher. You know, don't put it. I'm trying to watch the damn pitch. Like, I want to watch the game. I don't want to watch. It's like a video game, you know.
Right.
So
keep that graphic.
Keep it off the plate. But sure, keep it on the screen if you want.
Put it in the corner on the screen. Just I don't not mind right it. In the middle.
I kind of like that too, because then I can, you know, if it's like a long at bat and I'm like, I forgot like what the sequence was, you know, especially when you're really involved in a game, it is nice to have that. It's nice to see, oh yeah, he was throwing it down, down, down. Now he's going to throw it outside. And you could probably even try to predict what the pitcher's going to do, and then you sort of, I don't know, I like it, just don't put it over the plate. Anyway, this is just me complaining the entire episode.
It's okay, it's a podcast, they're designed just for that purpose.
Oh, well, what are you gonna
do? You're a goddamn disgrace!
Alright, on that note, it is time for last week's trivia question.
Last week's trivia question, alright.
That was a good one. It was relatively easier than the ones that we do. But, I don't know, let's see. We got,
Let's recap it.
Which player has appeared in the most World Series games? Not by league, just period. Which player has appeared in most World Series games? I had an idea, and let's just go. We got Jared Daraj says Mariano Rivera.
Big Mo, yeah. That would be a good guess. Yeah. A lot of World Series appearances, but no, right team, wrong era.
Just a bit outside.
All right, and then we got Mick Anthony says Mickey Mantle. Well,
Mickey Mantle.
That's a good one.
That is a right team and correct era, wrong player.
Ooh,
just a bit outside.
That's all we got here. I was actually going to say the Mick myself. That's who I was thinking.
It's an excellent guess. You know?
So okay, all right, you're leaving me in suspense here. What's the answer?
The answer is none other than Yogi Berra.
I'm an idiot. Of course. All right, let me pull that up.
Yeah, Yogi Berra, 75 wow. World Series games.
He has 10 World Series titles. One for each finger, yeah, right? Oh, I know. I've seen the picture. I wasn't thinking.
It's pretty incredible. The quote from the movie Catch Me If You Can, why do the Yankees always win? Well, Tom Hanks' answer was, the Yankees always win because they got Mickey Mantle. Perhaps the correct answer is the Yankees always win because they got Yogi Berra.
Well, so Mickey Mantle did play in 65 World Series games, so he is second overall.
Ten games, fewer though.
10. Yeah, I know. That's a lot of World Series games.
It is a lot. But those Yankee teams were fantastic. And in the 1950s, they won almost every year. Almost. Not in 1954.
55. They didn't beat the Dodgers in 55.
I didn't. Yeah.
Or 54. Yeah.
54. They didn't even play. So it was the Giants Indians, but we digress.
I'll take that. 55 was a good year, so, you know, what are you going to do? All right, so we got this week's trivia. So no winners, no chicken dinners, no free beer. Again, email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. What do you got for me this week?
This week, related to our strikeout discussions, Gerrit Cole.
Ooh, Gerrit Cole.
Earlier this month, he became the first American League pitcher to strike out five times in one game since 1969.
He got five at-bats?
Five at-bats.
He struck out five times?
He struck out five times
got the
in
Stanton.
One game.
He got this because we don't have a term for five. We have obviously the Golden Sombrero for four.
Right.
So the five we just established, that's the Stanton.
This is Stanton?
Yeah, that's the Stanton.
Okay.
Wow, like he got five like strikeouts?
Five strikeouts. For the
okay,
first
I see where this question's
yeah,
going.
Yeah, so the AL pitcher striking out five times in one game, first time since 1969.
Wow.
Who was that last American League pitcher to strike out five times in one game?
Oh, so did you just give us a big hint? Were you supposed to give us that hint? All right, I'll forget it. Rewind it if you missed that hint. But who was the last pitcher to strike out five times in a game? Okay,
yes,
that's a tough one. All right, it's gonna
American
have
League
some time.
Pitcher, American League pitcher.
Right. Okay, I'm gonna have some time to mull that over. All right, that's a good one. All right, so once again, email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. Leave a comment on the Podomatic or Facebook. Give us your answer. See what you got. On that note, we are out of here. Thanks for joining us once again. I am Adam Nelson.
I'm Samuel Paul. Remember, baseball is life. The rest, just details.
Go watch some baseball.